welcome you today to Living Waters Community Church in Casa Grande. This is a special day today because it's Father's Day, when we honor fathers. And so I'm going to talk today about a godly father. That is God's design. He is the one who has designed what a father should be. And so before I begin, I would like to just welcome the Holy Spirit and we bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have given us fathers. I thank you that you are the example of fathers. You are the Father who loves us. You are the one we can come to when we're hurt. You're the one we come to when we trip, when we stumble. You are a Heavenly Father, and you are the example. I thank you, Lord. I pray that you will anoint me today. Let me just be a vessel to speak your word, the message that you want us to receive. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. A godly father, God's design. I tried to think of what do I want to say. God has a specific design for fathers, and that is that they are godly fathers. Billy Graham said, a good father is one of the most unsung and unpraised and unnoticed and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. You heard John tell us this morning that the statistics say that Father's Day is probably of the important events that happen, celebrations, it's number 20 on the list, way down at the bottom. I don't think it's got the right set there. It's out of order because fathers, God designed Adam in the beginning. He created him and then he gave him a helper and he made him and told him how to be a father. In Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, we read where the Lord said to Ezekiel, he said, I sought for a man who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. It sounds like our nation today. We have so many that need to step forward and say, I'll be there, I'll stand in the gap. God sought for a man who would stand in the gap, and God is still seeking for men who will stand firmly for God and for righteousness in behalf of our families and our nation. The word male means designated and marked for distinction. That's the definition in the dictionary. And Satan wants to decapitate men spiritually, physically, and emotionally. He wants to cut them down. Why? Because there is power in the leadership of a man. He wants to remove the head so there is no leadership, there is no covering. That's his design. He's been doing a pretty good job of it in our nation today. Pharaoh and Herod commanded to kill the male babies, not the girls, but the males, because they wanted to destroy godly leadership. Satan still wants to destroy godly leadership today. How we need leadership, godly men to lead and to say, this is the way we're going to go. Follow me. Satan seeks to destroy good men. We need to pray for our men if we've never, more than ever before. Our society and culture today is much like it was in Ezekiel's day. Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, he said, God said, you have become guilty by the blood which you have shed. He's judging. Haven't we, America, become guilty by the blood that's been shed, the babies that are slaughtered? How many of those were destined to be leaders, men, but they've been slaughtered? He said, you've become guilty by the blood which you've shed, and you have defiled yourself with the idols which you have made. What kind of idols do we have in our world today that have taken the attention away from God and taken the attention from the leadership that men need to have? I'm not saying they shouldn't have hobbies, but they need to be the leader of their family. And he said, therefore, I have made you a reproach to the nations. I think America has been a reproach to other nations. and in mockery to all countries, he said, those near and those far from you will mock you as infamous, disgraceful, disreputable, and full of tumult. We have a reputation. Other nations look at us and laugh and say, where's the leadership? What's going on? They have nobody to really tell them and lead them. We need a leader. We used to do the march. We'd say, onward, Christian soldiers, and we marched around the church, marching as to war, and we had a leader. We need a leader. Men need to step up and become leaders. And the devil is pursuing and aggressively seeking to devour and destroy men because men are ordained by God to lead their families as well as our community and our nation in righteousness. A Yale University study in 48 cultures around the world found crime rates were highest among adults who, as children, had been raised solely by women, no father in the home. And we find that is still true today. Most of the time, there's no father to be a leader and to say, follow me. The devil knows that when men are in their place, he cannot win. Sadly, there are men who have given up their rightful place and have believed the lies of Satan and have chosen to act like women. I hate to see a woman that's a wuss. It doesn't stand up. I like to see a strong man. And they act like women in their walk, in their talk, in their apparel, and in their mannerisms. We want godly men to be our leaders. God is looking for men who have righteous convictions and will stand firm according to His Word. How is it their convictions? It's not that they're tyrants. It's according to the Word of God. Men who will lead their children and their wives by example of godly conduct. Men who take no pleasure in unrighteousness. Men who protect their sons and daughters from the filth of the world. Men who abstain from filthy communication and off-color jokes. We're not just Christians when we come into the church house, but Christians everywhere we go. If you say something that is off-color and there's a godly man, the others they feel condemned. They feel convicted. I talked to a young man last night. He sat down and was telling me his story. It was a sad story, very sad story. He started out, but he started out without leadership. No man, no father in the home. And he went astray. And he said, I was just trying to find something. I lost my job then during the COVID and all that. He lost his job and it went downhill. And he said, you know what I did? And he said, it broke up my marriage, but I stayed there and sat on the couch and did video games. He said, I closed myself out, just played with the video games. He said, you know what? It was the only way I could deal with it. But he said, of course, then we lost our home, we lost our car, we lost everything. He said, and I thought, my goodness, the kids today, no wonder they're off focus. No wonder they don't know how to do some things. Technology, maybe, but we have to learn how. We have to have leadership. We have to know how to lead. And this man said, he's told me he had a son that he had not talked to for 9 years. He said, we just don't communicate. We lost touch. We need to be fathers. We need fathers that communicate with their children and say, come on, we're going to go do this. We're going to do something together. God is looking for men who have righteous convictions and will stand firm according to His Word. Men who will lead their children and their wives by example of godly conduct. In Psalm 111, the 11th verse, it says, the fear of the Lord, that means honor. That kind of fear is honor and respect for God. Honoring and recognizing there is power in this, and I need to observe what God has said. It's not like, it's not that kind of fear. It is honor and respect for the Word of God. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow His precepts have good understanding. How desperately we need to understand, to follow, and to respect and honor the Word of God. In Psalm 112, the first verse, "Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments." In Proverbs 14:26, "In the fear of the Lord one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge." There's confidence and a refuge and feeling of security when we are following the Word of God. I think about an example, Ramona. I can talk about her. See, she's gone. But she came home from school. You know, she'd come home from school, and she always would share all of her school stuff with me. Now, Carice, that's a different story, but Ramona would come home telling everything that happened. And so one day, her friends in high school said, she said, "I don't understand why they're saying what they do. They say, watch out. The guys say, don't even look at her. Don't touch her. Her dad is crazy. He will kill you." Well, he meant business. My daughter is off limits. She is a child of God. Don't even think about anything. And he says, this kid says he'll kill you if you bother his daughter. God wants men who will encourage women and girls to reflect the glory of God. He wants people to encourage our women to be godly mothers, to be godly people, not floozy and not having no regard for themselves, but rather than the fleeting trends and the loose moral conduct and compromise of the world. We need to teach our daughters, and men are the ones who can teach them. Mothers have a great hand in it, but men are really the ones who have that influence. God's design is that a man is to be the protector and the provider for his family. You say, well, you can't make it on one living. Well, I understand. But a whole lot of what it takes to go to work. I think about my grandson. He's working, and he makes pretty good money now, Victor's son. And he said, my wife is working, a teacher. And our daycare costs are, it was terrible, the cost of daycare. And I said, my, does it really pay for her to work? And he said, yeah, we have to have what little bit we can get, you know, from that. And I think, you know, how much could be saved? I'm not trying to run their business, but sometimes a mother, it's better for her to take care of her children. I understand there are others who do it, but sometimes we have to do that. I worked some, but I waited till my kids were a little bigger. God's design is that the man is the provider. In 1 Timothy 5, Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. He's not saying if you struggle and you have a difficult time that you are no good. He's saying if you just go off, run off like a lot of guys, boozing it up, whatever they're doing, and just ignoring their family, letting them suffer. I think of this guy. I heard a little on TV. Maybe some of you heard it. He was the guy that is the world's greatest drummer. I don't know his name. I forgot his name. But he was talking about how he lived in a car. His father left. They had no father. And his mother had 7 children. And they slept in a car. And he said, I thought I was worth nothing. And he told of all of his background. But his mother said, God has designed you for something. He's given you talents. And he said, I used to beat on cans. And I went around, and then I tried out when they wanted a drummer. I'd go in and say, can I be the drummer? No, 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 we've got a drummer. He said, one day, he grew up a little older, and he said, I was beating on a can. And some guy walked over, and he said, let me hear that again. And he said, wow. He said, come on in. I want you to try. And he let him play the drums. The guy has interaction with some of the greatest people, the richest people. He makes millions now because he's called the world's greatest drummer. And he said, I can witness for God. But he has used that ability in spite of all of the difficulties. Now, I have to commend that woman that raised those, I don't know how she did it, but God plan is that a man is to be the stability of the home. God's plan is that a man is to be the righteous and godly example before his wife, before his children, his grandchildren, and others that are around him. He's got a heavy role to fulfill. And not, there are a lot of men that aren't doing it, but there are some, I commend them, there are some that are. And we thank God for them. God specifically chose Abraham to be the father of many nations because of what? Because he said, I want a man who will teach his children. He said, I know Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him, his grandchildren, all of them. And the NIV says, I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. God made a promise to Abraham, but he had to walk in God's ways for that promise to be fulfilled. Abraham not only prayed with his family, I believe he prayed with them. He taught them as a man of knowledge. He commanded them as a man in authority. He was a prophet and a king as well as a priest in his own house. That's what God has called men to be, a priest in their house, the leader. I think it's interesting, and I can't give you, it's easy to find it, but God commanded a man, told the man, love your wife. Love your wife. You cannot find anywhere in there where it says, wives, love your husband. Why didn't he say that? Because when a man loves his wife and puts himself, in like Jesus did, in sacrifice for her, she can't help but love him. She can't help but adore and love him. I'm not saying there are not some women who are exceptions, but she will love him. She says, women, love and respect your husband. Honor him. Be obedient and honor him. Respect him. This is God's plan for every man to be a priest in his house. God is not looking for a sissy man, nor is he looking for a tyrant. There is an extreme. He's not looking for either of those. He's looking for a man who is balanced. He's looking for a man with resolved integrity and honor who will uphold the word of God without wavering. Joshua said to all of Israel as he was getting ready to die and he was telling them, he said, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. He was leaving the leadership. And he said, choose today whom you will serve, but as for me and my household. He took responsibility not just for himself, but for his household. God ordained that a man like Joshua should be the leader of the household. He leads by example. The greatest way is by example. I've seen so many times again and again with my little grandbabies and with my own children, they try to wear the little boys. They put their dad's shoes on, his slippers, no matter even if they fall and bump their head, they get back up and they stick their feet in those shoes. They want to walk like dad walks. They want to do what dad does. If dad crosses his leg a certain way when he sits down, the little boy will sit there and try to cross his leg. We have an awesome responsibility. Men have an awesome responsibility and a privilege because they can form the life of a child. Years ago, my husband invited a highly recommended musical gospel singing group to the church. They were good. They had beautiful harmony and were great performers. But later, when we were headed to a restaurant and they stayed with us, you know, it used to be they stayed in your home. And then we went out, we were driving. Later, when we were headed to a restaurant to eat, I was appalled when the father of this family, and he stands up there, and they sing the gospel music, and beautifully they sang with their three children and his wife, but he whistled at a girl walking on the street, and he commented to his 13-year-old son, wow, she is really fine, and my heart just went, oh, what in the world is he teaching this boy? This said something about this man's character and the message he was giving to his son, as well as to the girl. When he whistled at the girl, he gave her a message he didn't need to give to her. I remember when I was young, before I married, I worked at 16th Street in McDowell at a postal finance office as a bookkeeper. But I didn't yet have a transportation, and I was so broke I didn't have bus fare. Instead of asking somebody, I would walk home. I took my high heels. We were required to wear high heels then. And I'd take them off and I'd walk barefoot. And I'd walk home, and it was about a five-mile walk. And the guys would, some of them, they'd whistle and beep their horns and pull over to the sidewalk. Hey, get in, get, you know, all that. It was fearful. It made me afraid. But what did he say to me? It said, this is somebody, he's like a beast, somebody I don't want to be around. And that's the message that this man gave. A couple of years later, I heard that this man left his wife and three children. I wasn't real surprised when I heard that, for a younger woman who was quite wealthy. I don't know if that marriage lasted, but there's no place for compromise in the kingdom of God. Sin will always take you farther than you want to go, and it will keep you longer than you want to stay. This young man I talked to last night was telling me how that he started doing drugs and how that to try to get rid of the anxiety. And he said, you know, but it was not, he said, you do it once. And he said, my wife said, well, if you're going to do it, I'll do it with you. And he said, when she took the drugs, he said, she was a beautiful, pure woman. And she took the drugs, and he said, it was just like a drapery of evil, and just something just fell over her. She wasn't the same person anymore. Satan has tried to destroy our young people. He's deceived them, saying it'll make you feel better. It will destroy your life. It will destroy your life. I know. There's no place for compromise in the kingdom of God. Society encourages men to forfeit their godly calling to be examples of righteous fortitude and courage. Why would any man want to forfeit that? Look, be like a woman or fill the part of a woman? Or why would any woman want to be a man and try to be the leader? I don't understand. It's not according to God's word. In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, it tells us the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. This is not a time for lethargy or compromise. God is searching for men to stand and represent Him in the land, men to stand in the gap. As it should be, I believe, at the top of our list of celebrations, we need men who will stand there and say, I'm willing. A lot of men say, well, I'm not going to marry her because then I'll be, she won't get any government benefits. She'll have to pay for stuff. And I heard somebody say that recently when they were approached, and my son approached this person and said, why would you not marry this man? You have three children with him. Oh, no, she said, you don't realize what I get from the government if I don't get married. Our government is messed up. We reward those who choose to live in sin if they do that, rather than saying, hey, you get a write-off if you're married. God described to Ezekiel the sins of the nation of Israel, and it was much like our nation today. God said to Ezekiel, I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. I wonder if God is looking today for a man to stand in the gap. We've got leadership that is not taking the responsibility, not standing for righteousness. God is looking for men who will build a wall of righteousness and stand in the gap. He's looking for men who will boldly call sin, sin, who will call abortion murder, who will call sex outside the sanctity of marriage fornication and adultery, who will declare that homosexuality is sin, and those who commit such acts according to the Word of God will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And it's straight. God does not mince with words. His Word is true. I thank God for the men who have been examples. I've talked about how many men have not fulfilled that role, but there are some who have. And I thank God and I give Him praise, for we have godly men. We've had men that have been forefathers, that have built the church and have been examples of the faith. We have some that would be not be examples. I thought it was interesting. I sat in a Cracker Barrel the other day with my granddaughter, her little girl with Grace, and her little girl, Ellie, is very outgoing, outspoken. Sophie is not, but Ellie said to this table that was right close to us, and this older man and his wife were sitting there, and she says, "You can't guess my name," you know. And she was dancing around, and she said, "You can't guess my name." And he was very kind, and he said, "Let me see." And he guessed some names and all that. And he started talking. And then as we talked, then he handed me a tract. And he was a Christian. And so then I began to talk to him. And then he said that he told me that, or told us that he had been married only 14 days to this woman. And he had one son. And he was talking. And I said, "Well, I too am lost my spouse." And he said, I couldn't do it. I couldn't go to bed alone anymore. And he said, I said, "Well, my husband was a pastor." And it was a great life. He said, "Oh, no." He said, "I wouldn't touch a pastor's wife." He said, "I wouldn't even look at a pastor's wife." And I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Because she's lived with such a holy man. Who could ever live up to that?" And I said, "Sir, people are people. Just because he says he's a pastor doesn't mean he's a holy person." I said, "My husband was a good man." But he said, and that's true. There are men that take a title. And he said to me, "I've got this Facebook page." He gave me a tract and he said, "I bring a message on Facebook, but I'm not ordained." I said, "If God ordained you, that's all you need." And that's true. When God ordains you and He has established what you're doing, you desire to follow in His footsteps, it matters. But when you're trying to straddle the fence, it's not comfortable. You try sitting on a wire and see how it feels. It doesn't feel good, because you can't serve two masters. You'll either hate the one and love the other if you cannot serve two masters. So I thank God who've been examples for godly character, men who've given their lives to be the kind of father that God calls men to be. Thank God for those men. And I know a lot of those. I'm sure that you know them. And I think about the song that we, as I was thinking of the men, and I think about the song, says, "Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, not halfway, but all the way. I want my children, men, I want the fathers of our children to be able to their children to look to them and say, I know that he was a man of God. Now, they may not always walk in that path, but I know that he was a man of God. And with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you." We teach by our example. And I will say that a man was designed by God to be a leader, to be one that will lead people in the pathway of righteousness. Let us pray for our nation, for our leaders, for the men and women, but the men especially who are in the leadership, that they will get a taste of what it means to really know God and to serve Him. We need that desperately in our families, in our cities, in our nation. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this special day today where we honor fathers. I thank you for those men who have given their lives to teach their children, men who have laid aside the desires that they would have liked to have attained, but they decided to teach their children the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, for those men. I thank you that you honor them and that you bless them. I pray, oh God, that you will put an inspiration and a desire in every man who hears this message today to be the man that you have called him to be. Truly, you have dedicated and you have anointed men to lead us. And if we pray, oh God, that you will help them fulfill that role in Jesus' name. And if there's anyone today who is listening and would like to be that kind of person and yet they have not accepted you, I pray, God, that right now they will make that choice, that decision to follow you. Be the man or the woman that God desires them to be. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and make his face shine upon you. He always will be with you when you make him your Lord and Savior. I trust that you will find him, if you have not, as your personal Savior. Thank you for joining us today at Living Waters Community Church in Casa Grande, Arizona. There. Yeah. Okay. I'm so thankful for, I didn't want to talk about all the negative stuff, but we've got a lot going on in our nation we need to be called, be aware of. And we excuse things and think, well, some people say, well, you know, we